podcast for all things writing and illustrating children's and young adult literature. I'm young adult author Connie B. Dowell. I've got kind of a short intro for you this week because I am on my own with the kiddos while Steve does his residency for his doctoral program. So I'm actually recording right now in our garage, hence the echo. Because sometimes when you're with the two kiddos, you have to record whenever and wherever you can to step out for just a couple of seconds and get this done. So anyway, it's been a really busy, crazy week with traveling for house hunting and preschool hunting and the launch of Dead Man's Jazz, the latest in my young adult historical mystery novella series. So that launched on June 25th, and I have many thoughts. I'm still kind of processing. So expect a solo episode later on this summer as kind of a bonus. Since I normally release every 2 weeks, there'll be an extra one in there to talk a little bit about some lessons learned from the launch. I'm also getting my first audiobook put together for my first book that I ever published, You Can Love Writing, A Guide to Get Through Your College Papers and Like It. It's been in need of an audiobook pretty much for the 5 years it's been published, if for no other reason than for accessibility issues for students who have some sort of vision impairment or a learning disability that makes audio a little better. So I'm glad that that's finally getting done, and it also is an extra revenue stream for me. So once that happens and I've kind of had some time to think about and process what I've learned from the experience, that will also be a solo episode later in the summer. Now, moving on to the interview at hand. Today, I've got an interview for you with a Houston writer friend of mine, Danielle Metcalf-Chanel, and she's talking about her books. She's written 3 books for adults, and her first picture book, Alice the Aviator, is out now. As you listen to this, it releases July 2nd, so this podcast releases July 3rd, so it is on shelves and you can pick it up. And she shares her wisdom about the writing life and talks about her book and the history behind it. And it's a really great interview, and I hope you guys enjoy. All right. Welcome to the Book Echoes podcast. Today we have on my friend Danielle. Would you like to introduce yourself?
Sure. Yeah. My name is Danielle Metcalf-Chanel, and I specialize in hidden histories for audiences of all ages. So yeah, I'm really excited to be here today.
Excellent. That is a really excellent tagline in histories for audiences of all ages. So great. So you have a forthcoming picture book, which when this podcast releases will have just been out for like 1 day.
Mm-hmm. It'll be a brand new baby book.
Yeah. So you want to tell us about it?
Definitely. And I will say that it took me a long time to come up with that tagline because I do a lot of different things, mm-hmm. and trying to find some kind of umbrella that linked them all together was really tricky. Yesterday, when this launches, my first picture book, my debut picture book, Alice the Aviator, an ABC aviation adventure, will have just come out. And so, when I hear this live, then I'll be eating a cupcake and drinking champagne.
Yay! Cupcakes and champagne. That's a really, really good combination. So can you tell us a little bit about your other books, about kind of like what's your pitch for Alice the Aviator? Why should parents pick it up?
Oh my gosh, lots of good questions. So what brought me to this book is I'm actually a history major. I have a master's in history, and I say that I specialize in aviation and reconciliation. And so this book really brings those two passions together. I've actually had 2 grown-up books published around popular aviation history, For the Love of Flying and Polar Winds. So that 10 years of research really informed this book. And then I do a lot of work around Indigenous relations and colonialism. So this book features the real Dr. Alice Kennedy, who was the first woman in Canada to get her private and commercial pilot's license. So reconciliation and aviation in one adorable paper cut or cut paper art package.
Adorable cut paper. And then, yeah, looking at the picture, it really is truly adorable. And it's also an alphabet book, right?
Yes, it is. And I should say right here that I am not the illustrator. That is the incredibly talented Kalpna Patel up in Toronto, Canada. And yeah, it's an ABC book. And so it really looks at different aircraft, everything from the Avro Aero to the Zeppelin. So it has hot air balloons and gliders and different things in there as well. Yeah, and I really just want it to entertain and inspire kids, especially ones who don't necessarily see themselves in the pages of aviation books or in the industry, because it's still only about 7% of people in the aviation industry who are women. So this is an area that I'm really passionate about, getting women into the aviation field.
Yeah, that's really cool. I don't think you've ever told me. Can you fly? Do you know someone who can fly?
I come from a family of aviation nuts. They are plane crazy. My dad is was a pilot. He let his license lapse. And so, yeah, I used to get to go up with him in little airplanes like Cessnas and stuff when I was a kid. And my grandfather was a Lancaster bomber pilot during the Second World War and had a very long aviation career. I myself am not a pilot. I joke that I'm a Taurus. I'm an earth sign. And so I like to keep my feet on the ground. But I am incredibly lucky that I get to interview pilots and really talk to people who are as passionate about their work as I am about mine.
And that's awesome. And you can get all the wonderful airplane cred without actually having to fly it.
or pay for it. And
pay for it.
I got to take the controls of my friend Cessna up in the Arctic this spring. Ooh. And I was really scared. It's something to be left to the professionals and the people who are really keen to learn the ins and outs of avionics and aviation and all that stuff. So this is something that I've been surrounded with. I think it's in my blood. I just happen to be a storyteller more than a propeller head.
Well, excellent. Could you tell us a little bit about we know what kind of drives you to write history, aviation and reconciliation. What drew you to write for children?
That came about with the birth of my son. So when he was 2 years old, obviously we're reading tons of books at home, lots of picture books. And one of our friends gave us this book about aviation that was, I would say, geared toward more like grown-ups, even though it was technically a kid's book. And my son, like so many of my friends, could not sit still and was super squirmy, and this book couldn't keep his attention. And I thought, hey, I think I might be able to do something that really is engaging. And so I love rhyme, I love poetry, and that's what this book is. It's these kind of short, pithy stanzas of all the different aircraft. And then there's lots more information that people can dig into in the glossary and in the back matter.
Excellent. Yeah. So kind of moving on a little bit.
Yeah, and then I think you were asking me before a little bit about how I became a writer.
Yes, and what got me a writer. I think we got a little bit out of order there.
I know. We get excited. You know how friends can be. But yeah, I think like you, I started when I was really little, and I was lucky that my parents encouraged me. And so I remember putting together this little photocopied newsletter, basically, that the neighborhood kids and I would put together, and then with my parents' blessing, we would photocopy it at my house and sell it back to our families for about 25 cents. So that was really the start of things in a professional way. And then I was the co-editor of the middle school's French language newspaper and wrote really angsty poetry in my teen years and put together some arts zines and stuff like that. Then history really grabbed my heart when I was at university, and know, I thought even that I might become a professor and continue on the academic track. That turned out not to be the right thing for me. And so the writing really called me back. And it was after I graduated university in, I guess it was 2007, that I really started on the freelancing, mm-hmm. back into creative writing, and convinced my father-in-law to commission my first popular history book, which became For the Love of Flying. Yeah. So all that grant writing really came in handy.
Yeah. No, that's a valuable skill right there.
Yes. In some ways, I say that was the most valuable skill from grad school.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And freelancing is it's something that I've dabbled in, but I was like, this just looks really hard.
You know, I think
trying to find a job all the time.
Oh, right. Yeah. Definitely you're hustling all the time. Yeah. And with small children and creative aspirations, that became really tricky. So when we moved down to Houston, I actually focused more on the creative books, mm-hmm. and was able to just kind of pick and choose what freelance contracts I took on. So there's still book reviews and articles, mm-hmm. But I'm not really out there shaking bushes like I had to be before.
That's good. That's good. Although I'm sure, you know, it teaches you a certain amount of discipline, having to hustle and having to work to a deadline like that.
Definitely, definitely. And coming up with mm-hmm. new ideas all the time, which I actually give that advice to aspiring writers when they don't know what to write about. And that sense of urgency of always having to pitch new ideas, mm-hmm. or come up with new column ideas for editors. If people are out there wondering kind of where do I get started, sometimes even just keeping a journal and really noticing what's going on around you in the world and what excites you, and taking down notes for maybe, you know, having to come up with 5 or 10 or 20 ideas every day, and just really kind of getting the creative juices flowing.
Oh, that's excellent. And that's for those kidlit writers and illustrators out there who do, there's a challenge run by author Tara Lazar every January, the Story Storm Challenge.
Oh, right.
I've definitely heard that one.
I've heard of it,
Where you write down a new idea every day. And at the end of the month, you have 30 ideas, and some of them might not work out, but with 30, you know, the balance is that something is going to hit.
Yeah. And I think that really kind of helps you hone your intuition, mm-hmm. of what kind of stories excite you and what, holes you might fill out in the market. Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so that's, you know, when I say, oh, I'm going for a walk or I'm reading a magazine, I can totally write that off as saying it's an inspiration session.
Yes, inspiration.
Totally.
You're looking for that hole to fill.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So what else were we going to talk about today?
So let's talk a bit about the creative challenges, just challenges for writers at kind of the beginning or even later in their career. Whether there's something that that you can reflect on, a challenge that you had and had you overcame that.
That's always tricky. And I think a lot of the challenges that we have at the beginning are the ones that dog us throughout our entire mm-hmm. lives. I think just like therapy, we're always going in cycles. Mm-hmm. And for me, I would say a big one was really trusting my gut and my intuition, and creating space in my life to just rest and be. I'm a bit of a recovering workaholic, and even though that was great for the freelancing, I think when you're doing creative projects, you need to let things rest. You need to keep an eye on your impatience. Mm-hmm. My tendency is to want to, you know, get the draft done and then get the revisions done and get it to my agent and get it to an editor. And sometimes you really need to sit down and sit back and let things rest, and kind of trust that things will happen in the right time. And so some of that is figuring out, are you procrastinating or are you actually letting things happen in their good time? And I think if you're somebody who tends towards procrastination, I would have an accountability partner to kind of check in with. And if you're someone like me who tends to be overly impatient and overly intense about work, then usually you have to sit with that anxiety and sit with that feeling of like, oh God, I should be working on this, when really the best thing that you can do is to just have a little perspective and take a little bit of a break.
Yeah, oh, that's good advice for writers at any stage of their career, because we do tend to waft between those two extremes, sometimes in the same person.
That is true. We can be a little bipolar, can't we? Just a tad. Yeah, and I think that's been a really big challenge, and something that I'm working on. But there's so many things that we do learn along the way, and I think one of the things you were asking me about before was advice, and I think I learned the hard way that the idea that a writer is supposed to be a lone wolf is a lie. Mm-hmm. And I tried to go it alone for way too long. So my advice to other writers is to find your community, build your community. And that can be online critique groups, in-person write-ins, the SCBWI, yeah, local meetings, conferences, and not to feel that you really have to be this kind of hermit. Because mm-hmm. I realized that way of living is really bad for my mental health and is actually really bad for my work and my career. And so the more community that I have around me, within limits, right? Sometimes I still have to be at my desk alone, hammering out the words. But we can cheer each other on. We can get each other through the rough mm-hmm. patches. We can help promote each other's work and, lift each other up with feedback and positive critique.
Absolutely. And that is a lesson that, again, can take you through your whole career. When you're just getting started, you need that community to learn the ropes. And when you've been there a while, it's important not to, just retreat into your little shell. And
yes. Yeah. And for those of us who move around a lot, it can be a lot of work to mm-hmm. continually make that community. And so you're right. That's something that you learn right at the beginning and that you almost have to relearn.
Yeah.
All the time.
Every time something changes in your life, even if you're not moving to a different location, you might have some other change in your life that changes your availability.
Like having kids.
Yeah, like having kids. Mm-hmm. It's also important to remember that there are, there's online ways to stay in touch with people or to find a community.
Mm-hmm. Which can be so helpful for people who live in small communities, small towns, out of the way places, who might have mobility issues or health issues, because mm-hmm. I think we can self isolate.
You can. Twitter, Twitter chats for writers was absolutely a lifeline for me mm-hmm. when I was living in the Virginia mountains and it took 30 minutes to get anywhere.
And now you live in Houston. It still takes 30 minutes to get anywhere.
but the scenery isn't quite so beautiful.
Yes, but we have our local chapter of the SCBWI.
That's true. There's a lot more in-person opportunities, mm-hmm. which has been lovely.
And that's interesting too, because I think that, and I don't know if this has been your experience, but the online communities can be wonderful. They mm-hmm. also can't replace in-person.
They can't.
Or even Skype and phone. I'm realizing that there's something about the connection of human voice and faces.
Actually talking to a person, even if you're not physically with them, does mm-hmm. make a big difference. And if you're an extrovert like me, holing up in your house is just the worst thing you can do.
Mm-hmm. And even though I consider myself more of an introvert, I've also realized that you have to strike a balance.
Yeah.
And that there's only so much energy you actually get from your kids. Mm-hmm. That as wonderful as they can be for inspiration and for, moving your genetic line forward, you still need adult conversation and you need people that you can talk to about your passions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So I know you're moving in this season, and I know we are going to be keeping up with each other, not in person as much, but hopefully with lots of Skype and phone.
Yeah, lots of Skype meetings.
Yeah. So hopefully we can do this again sometime.
Indeed.
All right, and I'll come out to the Virginia mountains.
Yeah, you have to come and drink the wine.
That sounds awesome. Thank you so much for having me today.
Well, thanks. So before you go, where can people find you and your books online?
Oh, let's see. The best place is probably my website. That is www.daniellemc.com. And I am on Facebook and Twitter. not on Instagram yet, but yeah, come and find me and chat with me.
All right. Excellent. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks so much, Connie.
Thanks so much for listening to the Book Echoes podcast. You can find the podcast at bookechoes.com, on Apple Podcasts, or on Stitcher. And I would really appreciate it if you enjoyed the podcast to leave a review at one of those places or leave a comment on the show notes at bookechoes.com. Thank you.